Began, I was in a school of music and I met...
Now we're talking what age?
When I was about 14 I joined Herman's Hermits, and by the time I was 15 we had a number one record, which was very good time to have a number one record in England.
Musical training, how did you get with the band? Where did the name Herman's Hermits come from?
Well, my musical training was I was doing musical theory at the Manchester College of Music and had nothing to do with Herman's Hermits, but I met some guys who were in bands and we formed a school band. And over the next 3 years, it evolved into Herman's Hermits. You know, everybody who was in the original band left, and the guys who became Herman's Hermits were all in different bands, and I stole them. And the name Herman's Hermits came from, we were sitting around, we used to rehearse in a pub in Withenshaw near Manchester. And we were too young to drink. We used to rehearse when it was closed. And we saw the Bullwinkle show, and there was a guy in there called Sherman, and we thought his name was Herman. And they said, "You look just like him." And I said, "Okay, I'll be Herman." And but what's the name for the band? And the barman said, "You look like the barman said, "Well, you look like Bloody Hermits, so call yourself Herman and the Bloody Hermits." "I'm Into Something Good" was a Carole King song that Mickey Most found, and he brought it to Herman's Hermits, and it was our first ever English number one record, which got me out of school, and it was a small hit in America. And it was just, I remember it's my favorite Herman's Hermits song. It was the most fun record to make, and
why? Because it was the first.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we'd made a couple of other records before, but that was the first one that really like gelled, and we did the hand claps, and it was a wonderful record. Woke up this morning feeling fine, great record. "Can't You Hear My Heartbeat" was kind of a tribute to Buddy Holly, really. It was written, Herman's Hermits had been before, we originally called Pete Novak and the Heartbeats, and we did lots of Buddy Holly songs, and somebody wrote a song, these two guys, Carter Lewis, wrote this song about sort of a Buddy Holly song for us, and it worked perfectly. It was number one record in America. Yeah, well, that was really not... That was Mickey Most's idea. We were in the studio looking for songs to do.
Mickey Most, your producer?
Mickey Most, the producer, yeah. And Jimmy Page was the guitar player on the session, and he had this lick that he used to do. And we were looking for one of those sort of C, A minor, F and G seventh songs that people did in those days. And we came up with Silhouettes, and it was, once again, a number one. It was written by a guy called Trevor Peacock, who's now my friend, but at the time I'd never heard the song, and I was watching the TV one night, and there was a play called The Lads, which Trevor Peacock wrote, and Tom Courtney was in it, and Tom Courtney sang this song called "Mrs. Brown, You Got a Lovely Daughter" over the title track of the play.
True story?
And I taped it. Yeah, all my stories are true. Uh-huh. And
and you taped it?
Me and Keith Hopwood, who was the guitar player in the band at the time, put it into the show. This was before Derek Leckenby and Barry Whitwen were even in the band. And it was successful on stage, so when it came to make us the record, we slipped it into the session, and it was one of those weird outside songs that picked up, and disc jockeys in America loved it, and it was a number one record in America again. Well, you know, Sam Cooke got murdered in, or killed in this, I say murdered in this motel in Los Angeles, and the Animals and Herman's Hermits both decided to do a tribute to him, and we recorded, they did Bring It On Home to Me, and we did Wonderful World. It was just basically a little tribute. We went into the studio and just did a quick one-off thing. They did Bring It On Home to Me, and we did Wonderful World. I'm Henry VIII was a song that my grandfather used to play at parties when he had a couple of too many beers, you know. In England, before TV, you know, in the 50s, there was no TV in England. And when people went to a party, that people all had a sing-along. It's kind of an English thing. And one of the easiest songs to sing was always I'm Henry VIII, I Am, and my grandfather used to play it. And, of course, when it came to record it, I didn't know the second verse, so I just said second verse, same as the first. There's a giggle, and I got on the record.
Ain't that just a little bit...
better. That's, it's one of the very good Herman's Hermits songs. It's, it was actually, none of the Hermits played on it, but it was a song that was, arranged and produced by, John Paul Jones, who's in Led Zeppelin. And it just is a really wonderful song. He played all the vibes and the chimes and the bass and the strings and everything. He played everything on that one.
I just like the song from what? Hold On, A Must to Avoid?
Yeah, I like A Must to Avoid. It's the only song we ever recorded in America, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we actually recorded that in RCA, I think, or somewhere in O Capitol in Los Angeles. The only Herman's Hermits song that was recorded in America. Great song. She's A Must to Avoid.
How'd you get it?
We were making a movie over there, and we didn't like the songs that they provided for us because they were all written by Elvis Presley's writers. And not the good ones, the ones who'd written, like, Viva Las Vegas. And they came with all these funny songs that we didn't like, and Mickey Most went looking for songs in L.A. and came up with She's a Must to Avoid, P.F. Sloan. He'd written the Eve of Destruction, and that was his another song.
Just like you seem to love Leaning on the Lamppost. I heard a smile in your voice toward the end of that. What happened?
Well, it was it wasn't really a record. We were doing it just as a bit of a giggle in the studio, and it became a record. You know, I mean, we just did it for fun in the studio, and we were just playing it basically for the producer who rolled tape. How about this song? And Mickey Most ran tape, and I didn't really know the words. The original words aren't the words on the record. They're just now the hit words. Dandy was written by Ray Davies from the Kinks, sort of about Herman wandering up and down the streets, chatting up the ladies. And here it is. Here's Dandy. Well, it was originally a single in England, and Mickey Most, the producer of Herman's Hermits, didn't think it was an American hit. And it was written by Graham Gouldman, who also wrote Listen People and Feel Love and Bus Stop and lots of Herman's Hermits songs. And it's a song about a milkman who don't deliver the milk today because my wife doesn't live here anymore. Very clever song. And it was actually the biggest selling Herman's Hermits record.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Overseas?
Overseas, not in America. It was just a B-side of There's a Kind of Hush. But everywhere else in the world, it was a number one. It was still the biggest selling record ever in France.
Hmm. Certainly one of the most asked for songs. There's a Kind of a Hush.
Oh, good. I'm glad that's one of those. That's one of my favorite Herman's Hermits records. It's just a great song. You know, it was originally written for Engelbert Humperdinck. You know, there's a kind of hush all over the world. And John Paul Jones, who wasn't in Led Zeppelin yet, came up with this great arrangement for it and turned into a really nice record. One of my favorite Herman's Hermits records. There's a kind of hush all over the world. Well, right now I live in Santa Barbara in California. I have a wife and a daughter who's 5 years old. As of 1991, and I have a TV show on VH1 that's on almost every day, and doing good, better than ever. 1990 was my best year, 1991 is going to be my second best year, and 1992 I hope is my best year ever.
When you look back on all the hit records that you had, you sang lead on all of them, I assume?
Yeah.
You look back on all the hits you had, your personal favorite out of all of them, and why?
I think I'm Into Something Good is my favorite, because it was the first one. It was like got me out of school. You know, my father went to the school and asked them to give me a year off to have a hit record when it was a hit already in England, and it kept me out of school for a year.
Was there one that was a hit that wasn't particularly a favorite, but you did it anyway?
No, I don't think anything ever got recorded that I didn't like. I really enjoyed making records with Herman's Hermits. It was a real blast, as they say in America. Every minute of recording in the studio was great fun for me. I truly enjoyed being in Herman's Hermits. It was a great period for my life.
You did have fun in the studio, didn't you?
Yeah, we had more fun than most. I mean, everybody says now, all the producers say that the best records they ever made were with Herman's Hermits.
And you were roughly how old were you during the run of most of these hits?
15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Mm-hmm. It was a great time to be making records, you know, because the competition was the Beatles and the Stones, and we really competed.